Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast, a very special edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn, fresh off a plane from Denver, here with Brett Dawson.
I'm not fresh off a plane from Denver.
You're not. You've been here. And we are here with Minnesota Vikings own Darnell Mayberry. No,
they really thought you had like Stephon Diggs or something, Sam Bradford.
Yeah. I mean, Sam's available.
It's just
Teddy Bridgewater.
It's just me.
Teddy Bridgewater. Adrian Peterson was temporarily available. Vikings legend.
Hurting my heart right now.
What a great run of like famous out-of-town sports writers on the podcast. We had Tim Bontemps, who's based in California. We have Michael Lee, who I think is based in – is he still based in D.C.?
Yes.
Michael Lee. Now we have Darnell Mayberry of Chicago, of The Athletic.
Yeah. It's weird.
How's that sound?
It's weird.
This is why Darnell's here today. Darnell is going to be off to cover the Chicago Bulls for The Athletic. And as a guy who has basically covered the Thunder since its inception, pre-Thunder, covering the Hornets, we wanted to get Darnell on the podcast and send him off the right way. If we're going to send off Anthony Slater, we're definitely going to send off Darnell Mayberry.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
No offense, Anthony Slater. The Podfather.
The Podfather.
Pod.
Father. You know, Darnell, I just wanted to start with, you know, leaving the floor open to you. If there's anything that you want to say about your tenure at the Oklahoman, positive or negative, we're going to just let you have the floor.
Yeah, I'm ready. No hesitation. It's first of all, thanks to everyone at the Oklahoman. You know, I got this job when I was 21, I think, turning 22 years old. So, I mean, I stepped into a big boy role early on. Mike Sherman, our former sports editor, gave me a chance. Ed Kelly, executive editor at the time, followed by Kelly Dyer Frey, gave me opportunities. Without them, I wouldn't have had these opportunities to be an NBA beat writer, fulfill my dream. So special thanks to those guys. But then, you know, beyond that, I'd like to really just thank the fans. Thunder fans are incredible fans, and we're very, very blessed to be able to serve them in all the different ways that we do, whether it's on this podcast, every day in the newspaper, online at newsok.com, you know, with blogs or articles or video. You know, I've just had an incredible run the last 12 years. And just thank you to everyone who followed along with our coverage, who supported me. I know that, you know, I wasn't always the most likable on the beat in terms of, you know, some of the things that I had to say, some of the things that I wrote, but I always put the reader first, and that was what I always aimed to do. And I just thank everyone for following along.
This is not the only job you've ever had, but like this is...
I mean, I've been in this business 13 years, yeah. And 12 of them came here.
It's got to be weird,
as
right?
As a full-time professional, yeah.
As exciting as the opportunity is, it's got to be a little scary.
I grew up here.
Yeah.
I mean, I became a man here, you know, not to sound like that other guy who went off to Golden State, but, you know, this place raised me. These people raised me. And, you know, I'm so much better for it. This is so much more than just a work environment. I mean, it's sort of like a family environment here, not to sound all thundery, you know, but
it's a culture.
Yeah. I mean, the people really care about you here. This has been an awesome place to work. You know, Brett, you've only been here for a little more than a year. Eric, how long have you been here?
2013.
So about 4 years,
yeah,
now.
4 years.
Yeah. So it's just a special place. You know, we've gone through a lot of changes, but, you know, we're trying to persevere and weather the storms that have hit us. And, you know, I feel like we're doing a great job of it, trying to reinvent ourselves in some ways. But, you know, it's a special place with special people. I couldn't have been luckier to work here for 12 years.
You just signed in as a guest here.
I did. And you walked me through.
Yeah. Like yesterday was technically your last day. So you're right in the building right now, but yeah, you're in the building as a guest.
Yeah, it's weird, man. And I changed my Twitter profile picture, not my profile picture, but the banner picture or whatever, from our marquee of the Oklahoman to The Athletic logo, put senior writer Chicago Bulls, The Athletic. It's just weird, you know, when you've done something for this long to all of a sudden shift and do something else like this. But I'm excited for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to it. you guys are going to have a great season. It's going to be a fun ride with the Thunder. So I'll be checking in. And I'll be back, you know, about a month when the Bulls, I'm sure, get drilled by the Thunder here in Oklahoma City, November 15th.
What a great team you're going to be covering.
The Fighting Zipsers. Paul Zipser.
I'm all for the Paul Zipser love. He hit a little boy in the face when he was here in Oklahoma City with an errant ball. Yeah. That you know, you're gonna get to. Yeah, I think you're gonna get to cover some unique stuff in Chicago too. We kind of talked about it off the podcast. You know, they're in position to, you know, potentially have a really high draft pick. So you might get to see some of the more excellent college basketball players.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And Cameron Payne.
I like how you just threw him in. He was kind of like the throw in that trade, essentially. That's what it ended up being.
I mean, it turned out to be. I don't think that's what we thought initially.
No, they thought they were getting a player.
You know, before I'm going to jump into some reader questions, I asked some readers online to kind of ask you questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought it would be good to get some Twitter followers to kind of say, hey, Darnell's last day.
Oh, boy.
Why don't you guys ask Darnell questions before he gets out of here?
This ought to be good.
Well, I have one for myself, and I think I asked this to Anthony before he left, and it might be harder for you because you were on the beat for so long, but can you recall your favorite piece you ever wrote about the Thunder?
Why 35, Kevin Durant, why he wears 35, that was pretty it was awesome because of the way KD opened up. I remember sitting with him on the sideline, basically where the players sit. I think it was after a shoot around, and his eyes welled up as he talked about his godfather and being murdered back in that DC area. And you know, that's not a side that we really saw out of him very much. So that was a special story. Russell Westbrook chronicling his early years, how he got to become Russell Westbrook, going back to his hometown and his neighborhood and seeing the parks that he played in. And it was as he was on the precipice of becoming an all-star, of punching his all-star ticket for the first time in his hometown of L.A., getting to do that and chronicle, you know, some of the places and the people who shaped him. And document that and share that story with the reader. That was also special.
Well, Brett, go ahead.
I always, every time I've ever left a place, people say, and I'm never really comfortable with this idea of like, who was your favorite guy to cover? Because to me, it's like, I don't know. Sometimes I know the answer to that question, sometimes I don't, but I always, it feels weird to me to like rank players. But are there a couple guys who, above and beyond KD and Westbrook, and maybe beyond Perk, who were just, you know, just fun guys for you to cover, who you think back about when you look over this?
Like Eric said, I mean, my tenure started with the Hornets, so a lot of those guys. David West was awesome, even though I ticked him off once. Tyson Chandler is probably my favorite guy I've ever covered. Bobby Jackson was great and still is. On this Thunder team, you don't have as much access. You know, you don't get to really know the players as much. But, I mean, they had a great group of guys. Nick Collison, one of the most professional players I've ever come across. You know, I just love and admire how Nick Collison approaches his job. So he's up there. It's been a pleasure to be able to cover him. Help me out, guys. Like, I'm trying to think of all the players who've come through here.
Well, he mentioned a few. He mentioned Perk.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
he mentioned
Perk did the foreword for your book.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. You know, fortunately for me, it's probably going to help. I'm sure it will. Everyone loves Perk. But beyond those guys,
Thabo.
Thabo was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Thabo was just a genuine guy, just sort of like Nick Collison. Mm-hmm. You know, no false pretense, no real ego, very, very professional, did whatever he could for his team, his organization, his teammates, never had a bad word to say about anyone, just really, really professional. Love Thabo Sefolosha.
All right, I guess we can jump into some of these questions here. Some of these are kind of things we've already covered, I guess. From Mandy, M_W, what is your favorite Thunder story you never told?
If I've never told it, I'm probably not going to tell it now, man.
That is the thing people don't understand about the job, is that, like, the best stories you haven't told, there's a reason you haven't told them, and just because you leave doesn't change the reason.
Right.
Because you want to be able to walk in the building the next day. And
nice try, Mandy.
Not take your credential.
That's very Westbrook of you right there.
Yeah.
Nice try. Nice try.
Any more questions?
Nice try.
Maybe somebody else will ask
that
question.
That's it for you, Mandy. Okay.
This is sort of a layup from Evan Gentry at Evan Gentry Zero. What is your all-time favorite moment at the peak you witnessed?
Oh, you know what?
Does Eric, this fall under the same question?
No, Eric, you know what immediately popped in my head?
The Steph Curry?
No, I wasn't there for that. I was in Republic watching that. The Steph Curry shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not on the beat then. You and Slater were on the beat.
Yeah.
The Andre Robertson shot. That's not my favorite. It was just like, it was a memory. And that was the first thing that popped in my mind. Brett, you know what we're talking about?
What shot is this?
Oh, it doesn't. We'll talk about it after the podcast. Right.
Come on, man.
We've talked about it. I'm not going to do that on my way out the door. Like, we talked about it. It was not it's a funny thing, but it's not. Okay, so we'll talk about it later. Favorite memory?
Yeah.
Ooh, man, there are so many. There are so many. I don't know if I have a favorite, but I just think the most awesome was probably when they punched their ticket to the NBA Finals.
Mm.
Just being able to document that, cover that, be in the building for that. You know, the trophy presentation. I think it was Ernie Johnson who presented Clay Bennett the Western Conference champion trophy. I mean, it was surreal how fast they got there and just sort of what that meant. I don't know if we really appreciated it because you kind of felt like they were going to be doing it for the next few years. But that was an awesome experience to be able to be a part of.
Okay. That's a pretty good one.
They're a crazy, while you look at these questions, they're a crazy successful version of this model that people talk. They're like, they're a model now that people talk about. Like, people say, when you look at like Towns and Wiggins, they say, oh, it's like having Durant and Westbrook, but it doesn't always work out. Those things are hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to be this good for this long, and it's hard for those guys to hit that way, for you to get two guys that click and that work in the same way that did.
Yeah.
Nice segue here. From Steve's OKC Central, this is our guy Steve Lackmeyer at the Oklahoman. Big fan of our Thunder coverage. Thanks, Steve. I guess you didn't answer this first part. All right, first part is, which player did you have the best and worst interactions with? And then I'll get to the second part.
Which player did I have the best interactions with?
And then the worst interactions with. I could probably guess the worst.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Westbrook. I don't think that was personal.
Right.
I just think he's like that. Name me a guy Russell Westbrook likes in the media, or woman who he likes in the media, besides Nick Gallo and Leslie McCaslin.
I will say this.
Beyond team employees.
I will say this.
Yeah.
He has called you by your first name.
That's it for you, Darnell.
He called Royce by his first name Royce Young earlier this week when he was talking about the...
That's true. I went to college.
I went to college. Yeah, I went to school.
Yeah.
So the first name acknowledgement, I think, is critical.
Goes a long way.
It is,
eye contact.
Yeah.
How much eye contact is he making these days?
I don't know that I've gotten any. The other day, he didn't like something I was getting ready to ask him, and he looked at me to let me know he didn't like it, and then he sort of told Matt Tumbleson, this is going to be, like, watch this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like this. You know, like, so he kind of looked at me when he did that.
Was that after the Royce question?
Yeah, it was after the Royce thing, and I just wanted to ask
him. And he started laughing
Yes, he started laughing at my question. And I was like, I'm not even going to ask what you think I'm going to ask. I'm going a different direction here. And his answer was fine, but the buildup was... Sometimes the answers are okay. It's the buildup that's the worst.
Yeah, I don't like... So, going back to the answer, I don't even think it's personal. I mean, I don't think it was personal. I think it's just him, and that's what he likes to do for whatever reason. Maybe he's so bored of answering media questions that's how he has fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But, you know, there's a misconception out there that, you know, I was a Russell Westbrook hater and Russell Westbrook hates, you know, certain people and XYZ. But, you know, I never had anything against Russ. I didn't like some of the ways he played all the time. Still don't. But, you know, he was just because I think he got off on that in some sort of way. That was obviously the worst. the best, I'd probably say KD. For as big as he is, for, you know, as like he's a global icon, you could always just go up to him and talk to him when there wasn't interference and, you know, just have a conversation. So that was always pleasant. But there were a lot of guys that were just genuinely nice guys that played for this Thunder organization. So, but KD, given his stature in the league, I'd probably put him at the top.
You got the head nod last year when KD came
back. I did, which I was surprised about, because you know, I called it a sucker move that you know, on this podcast, I called it a sucker move, the move he made, and I didn't know how he was going to react. Yeah. But like I said, he's just a genuinely nice dude. He just handled it the wrong way.
I think we can all agree upon that.
You could say that about several things in Kevin Durant's life in the intervening year too. That he's a nice dude who handled some stuff the wrong way.
Yeah,
Twitter being some of the stuff.
No, I'd have to agree, Darnell. I think Kevin's always been he's been great with the media for you know 98% of his career. In the time that I had with him, he's always been pretty solid. Second part of Steve's question. And this is a one that you've probably been asked 10,000 times before in your life. Does he think the Thunder could have won a championship if they kept James Harden?
This kind of goes back to what Brett was saying.
Yeah, this is tying into what he said.
You kind of never know. I mean, you presume, you assume, but you don't really know. I would think yes, but who knows? Like, we didn't think Russell Westbrook was going to blow out a knee on a fluke play. We didn't think Serge Ibaka was going to blow out a calf on a fluke play. We didn't think Kevin Durant was going to have three surgeries on his same foot. Like, who knows what would have happened? So, but they would have had a better chance, no doubt about it.
Such an interesting thing that they had a couple of teams that really felt like they were the best team. I mean, the Westbrook team, the Patrick Beverley team, that felt to me like the best team. That year, they felt like the team to beat. And then the Westbrook thing happens and it's over. And then, I mean, they get up 3-1 on the Warriors. They look like they're the best team. Yeah. They look like they're the best team in the NBA. Yeah. Things happen.
Here we go from Drew Martin, and maybe you already kind of touched on this too, but from Drew Martin, at Drew Martin 35, what is your favorite Russ post-game interview moment?
So many. So many to choose from. A very early one. And this was similar to "That's it for you, Darnell. No more questions for you, bro."
Yeah, that's a great one.
Very early. James Harden's still on the team. The guy asked him, and I respect the heck out of the guy for asking, but it was sort of a silly question because no player is going to talk about another player's money like that. He asked if James Harden was worth a max contract.
Right, and it's a playoff situation, right? It's a playoff game.
It's a podium game.
Yeah, yep.
Well, he was always on the podium. He still is. But when Russ said to that guy, "No more questions for you, bro," and not just the pithy phrase, but also the look in Russell's face, like that was one of his, if not the first time he ever delivered one of those. Mm-hmm. And he kind of looks around as people start giggling, like, "Can I get away with this?"
Yeah, he liked it. He liked that he did it. I did the,
that was the beginning of it.
For the Westbrook section we did last year, I did those things. Mm-hmm. I did the Russell Westbrook, those moments, the next question.
Yeah.
And I watched No More Questions for You, Bro, like 15 times the day that I was putting that thing together.
Yeah. It's the innocence on his face at that point. Now he does it, and he's a grizzled veteran. You know, he doesn't care. Back then, he sort of was like, "Oh, I can get away with this. Yeah. People like this? Okay."
It all started there.
Yep.
It's all your fault, bro. Whoever that guy was that asked the...
Jonathan, not Sharks. Jonathan something. He used to be with Real GM.
Okay.
I don't even know him.
Okay. I think this one's pretty good. From Nick K. OKC. Same thing for his Twitter handle. Do you regret giving up writing the past few years?
Not one bit.
Why?
It was a family move. I did it to focus on my family, and so it was totally personal. And to be able to do that is the reason I'm going to Chicago now. It's a total personal decision. It has nothing to do with, you know, the Oklahoman, has nothing to do with the Athletic. I'm thankful for the opportunity at the Athletic, but and I'm landing in a great spot. But these are personal decisions, and when you have a family and you put your family first, I believe that is more important than anything you can do professionally. So that's what I'm doing, and that's why I don't regret it one bit.
Valid. Very valid. Sorry for the long pause.
It's a good answer that you explained that, because, like, you know, if somebody got out of coaching And then 2 years later, they went back to coaching. You would think, like, man, you really missed coaching. You wish you hadn't made that move.
Yeah.
So it's good that you're explaining that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people make those assumptions that once a person is out of it for a while, they're going to miss it. And they have this itch or something. It's not that you weren't excited to get back into writing.
This isn't a Derek Fisher. I miss my family and I go be with them for 2 weeks and then go to Oklahoma City. No, this isn't that.
Okay, we got a Orbit. It's at Orbit. Okay, whatever. I'm not going to say that because it's going to sound weird. What are you looking forward to the most about covering the Bulls?
The intro video. Every single night. I'm going to get goosebumps 41 nights out of the year. And it's only going to be 41 because I don't think they got a chance of sniffing the playoffs. But that intro video, it's similar, if not the same, as the one that they played for Mike back in the day.
Yeah.
I think they've kind of retooled the video, obviously, over the years, but the song essentially is the same.
The Alan Parsons Project song. I don't know the name of the song, but that's the only thing I know about the Alan Parsons Project is that song.
Oh, you know more than me.
Yeah, that's the first thing I've ever known about the Alan Parsons Project.
That's all I know, Alan Parsons Project. I don't know what it's called. Mm. I just know that's who did it.
So that is – and I mean, the arena, the United Center is, in my opinion, top five arena, largely because they don't blast music all night.
Yeah.
The steel in the arena is so refreshing that you can actually hear the sounds of the game and the organic crowd noise.
Yeah.
That's not spurred on by defense. Yeah. You know, like when something happens, the Bulls fans are so in tune to the action and the music's not blasting all night that you can have an appreciation for crowd noise, the sounds of the game. And it's just a really, really refreshing atmosphere. I love the United Center atmosphere.
That is true. When a guy hits the floor at the United Center, you feel it and hear it. There's not necessarily something playing over it. There's not race cars or whatever, the Pacers thing.
Race cars.
The Pacers used to play race cars. Race car sounds at their games. I used to go to
not
a lot of
to the
Indy
500.
Huh. Yeah.
See, they had like a band when I was there too. They had
they did try to do the college type thing.
That's a great place too.
Is what you're looking forward to least about going to Chicago the weather? Because you hate the cold.
I hate the cold. Brett knows this.
Yeah, good luck with that.
It'll be 60 degrees in Oklahoma City, and I'm ticked off. Traffic.
Yeah.
Traffic is awful, and you know, you sort of have to drive, especially as a beat writer. You got events you got to go to and stuff like that. Cost of living.
Yeah.
And too. The violence. But other than that, it's a great city.
Hey, man, you get a deep dish pizza.
You can eat that casserole they call pizza.
I'm not looking forward to gaining about 10, 15 in my first year there. I got to be smart.
I like that casserole they call pizza.
I love it.
It's fantastic.
I think it's good. I just don't – it's not really pizza. It tastes great.
It's a pie. It's a pizza pie.
Yeah, it's like pizza lasagna.
It's a pizza pie.
Didn't you say something about like St. Louis pizza or something? Was that you?
That is a travesty. It's a that's not even pizza what they do. It's like a piece of cardboard, and they put provolone cheese in slices. Like, who looks at pizza and is like, you know what's wrong with it? Shredded mozzarella. That's a mistake. Nobody ever.
Didn't
St. Louis pizza is like, stupid. Jason Tatum.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
How it all got started. Jason Tatum came out and talked about how great it was. It's terrible. Terrible. Yeah.
So what's your favorite pizza? You're hating on Giordano's and Gino's East and
That stuff's fine. Lumanati's is the best of the bunch to me. Yeah. I like New York pizza, though. I'm like a New York pizza guy.
You just like the little slice.
Yeah, and like California pizza, too. Like the thin, crunchy. Pizza. I like that.
If I'm going to eat pizza, I'm going to be fat about it.
Amen, brother.
I want that thick crust, that crazy Giordano's.
I like New York. I like the fold in New York. I like the fold slice.
I'm not a folder.
The big folded slice.
Not a folder.
I like going, like, if you go to like a, well, in theory, I've been in New York a lot. I have not for the NBA because I've been in and out so fast. But like when you get to go and like you go to a Knicks game or a Nets game or something and you just stop on the street somewhere and get pizza, I like it. Just stopping with those little shops along the way.
Yeah.
I like that it's not very expensive.
Yeah.
Like you can get a slice for $2.50 up there.
Can't do anything else in New York for $2.50.
Yeah. That is true. Let's take one more. I think this is one more I have. It is from Christy. at ChristyTX12.
Shout out to Christy for buying my book, pre-ordering it, and getting it early.
Well, that's another something that we need to talk about after we get done with this question.
Yeah, you gotta plug the book. We're gonna do that.
Definitely need to plug the book before we leave. Outside of the original Big Three or Four, what role player do you think has had the biggest impact on the Thunder's playing style?
Wow, that is a good question. That's a
pretty good question.
I don't know that there's an answer because their playing style has always been dictated by the big two, not three or four, the big two.
Or the big one last year.
Yeah. I would probably go with like Thabo Sefolosha / Andre Robertson because they've always had that wing defender in there to kind of cover up and, you know, be the glue guy.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't have a great answer.
That's a pretty good answer, though.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense.
I was thinking Perk, but I don't know if that playing style necessarily, but like your personality, I suppose, more so than your playing style.
Yeah, Collison, I would think, is in that mix, too, in terms of a guy that's just put a stamp on it from a culture standpoint and all that. But those guys didn't, you know, those guys played in spite of the style.
Like yeah.
Those are guys who were not necessarily, especially Perk, not really what they were doing.
Yeah, because I didn't see Kevin Durant like taking any jumpers and his follow through took him to one knee like Kendrick Perkins. It wasn't really a playing style thing. It was,
yeah,
which would actually be cool to see. You know, Russell Westbrook kind of do the follow. I'm following through on the podcast. Y'all can't see
because other people on the sidewalk can. I'm so happy I got 1 year of Perk in my NBA career. It was like it wasn't here. New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm just glad I have a little, like, coming here now and all the Perk that's around here. I just like that I had a little Perk.
Yeah.
You know, I like that I had some Perk experience. I like Perk.
He's got to get on a bench. I'm not even talking about as a player. He's got to be a coach. He's got to be an assistant.
Yeah. I think he will be.
Yeah.
I think he will be sooner rather than later.
Yeah. I think Alvin Gentry would hire him on his staff, but, you know, I don't know how much longer that's going to be a thing. Love you, Alvin, but, you know.
Darnell, let's talk about your book. I guess in the last week and a half, you really made it official that the book is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the people on the podcast about the book if they don't know, where they can get it, how long you've been working on it. We've been talking about it in the office for about a year now.
Brett bought a copy. Actually, Brett bought two copies.
As a matter of fact,
Eric,
I have some money for you in my pocket.
Hey, look at that.
I did a little Venmo. I was a technologically advanced, and somebody I know is getting a copy of that book in the mail, but I'm not going to say who he is because he might listen to the podcast. I want to, you know, he'd be surprised.
Well, I appreciate you thinking of whoever that is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to appreciate
it. Good friend of mine. He'll be happy.
Okay, so the book is titled 100 Things Thunder Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. It comes out, the official release date is November 15th, but you can go online now and pre-order it. Apparently, some people who have pre-ordered it, like Christy, got it in the mail already. So that's a surprise I wasn't expecting.
That's not a pre-order. That's just an order.
Yeah.
I don't know how she got it, but the official release date is November 15th. It's supposed to be in stores early November, so we'll probably see it in some stores early in November before the official release date. Let's see. You can order it at triumphbooks.com/100thunder or anywhere books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever books are sold. You can order it online or go to your favorite bookstore if those things even exist anymore.
Commonplace Books.
Yeah, Commonplace Books, Best of Books.
Maybe they'll have it down there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to have it. I shouldn't say that. I don't know if they're going to have it. They're nice people, though.
Yeah. So basically, you know, this thing came about last summer. I was coming back from Vegas, of all places, and I was in the baggage claim at the Oklahoma City Airport, and I got an email that said, would you have any interest in this? And I don't know how it happened. I don't know where it came from. It was totally random to me. And I was hesitant at first. The title of the book sounds a little wonky.
A little morbid, frankly.
Yeah, Before They Die. Yeah, you're right.
Just throw death in your book title. Good times.
But it's a series of books that they've done throughout the pro and college levels. You know, if you're a Cubs fan, they got a Cubs book. If you were a Tennessee fan, they probably got a Tennessee book.
My man Mike Rutherford wrote the Louisville Cardinals one.
There you go.
Probably not selling great. Although maybe people need to good memories.
So, you know, I was a little hesitant because of the title alone and because of the time commitment. But I had stepped off the beat already. I had more time. I wasn't traveling with the team and, you know, writing every day as you guys do and know the demands of that. And so I gave it a shot, and I'm really, really thankful that I did. You know, it's sort of one of those projects that's what you make it. And I put a lot of hard work into it, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. It's a 336 words. Put a lot of effort into that thing.
I just wrote that about Bryce Alford getting cut.
336 page book. You know, it's a pretty good sized book for what it is. And I mean, it chronicles pretty much everything in the first 9 years of the team. And I'm really proud of it. I think, you know, people will enjoy it.
I will say I've read a couple of those and browsed a couple of them in bookstores as well, the 100 Things series. Mm-hmm. And if you have seen them, like yours is it comes from a place of a lot more knowledge and a lot more research and a lot more. I mean, it's deeper than a lot of them are. It's really good. Like, if you're a Thunder fan, get it.
Thanks, Brett.
No, definitely. I think that I was telling you before a couple of days ago, your lead-ins, it's not as if you're writing just a coffee table book. It's as if you were a beat writer writing about the Thunder. And there, I think there's some chapters in there where you bring your style that you wrote with at the Oklahoman to the chapters. You're telling it like it is. You're not sugarcoating things for fans that, you know, just want to read the Thunder Times. You're saying
it's a lot of those in there, but
there's also a balance where you're hitting on, hey, you're not going to want to hear this, James Harden. You're not going to want to hear this,
Cole Aldrich. Yeah. Kyle Singler.
And some, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in there. You know what I was looking through, and I was like seeing chapter titles, and I was like, oh, that's a chapter. Yeah. I'm going to read that. Yeah. You know, like there's a lot of stuff in there that'll jog people's memories.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the project. You know, I think Thunder fans will appreciate it, I hope. And like I said, I'm just really blessed and fortunate that I was able to get to be the one to do it. It's $14.95. And like I said, you can get it anywhere books are sold. And Kendrick Perkins wrote the foreword, so which I think is worth the price tag alone.
It's real good, too. It's really good. Like the Kendrick, the yeah. Perk foreward.
He brought it. He came with it.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah. Starts, Eric, we got to get you a book.
Starts it well, ends it great. It's good in between.
Yeah. Yeah.
You and Perk should just continue with this collaborative process until the end of time.
Write a sequel. Perk.
Good old Perk.
Have you seen Perk since he said see you next Wednesday?
No, I haven't. I'm still waiting. What Wednesday is this going to be?
Well,
it was one day last season.
I mean, today? No.
It's not today.
I mean, they leave a roster spot open. They slide Perk in there. You know, you never know. Anything could happen.
Yeah. Oh, one last thing I'll say about the book. November 18th is a book signing at Best of Books. I believe it's in Edmond from 12 to 2. It's a Saturday, 12 to 2, November 18th. It'll be my first ever book signing. I'm excited. Yay.
I've done one of those.
This guy.
Loosen up your hand. I wrote a book about Illinois when I was covering Illinois, and like I did a book signing, and there weren't that many people, but you're signing your name a lot more than you're used to doing, no matter how many people show up.
The good thing is my signature, this is how long it takes me to write my signature, all right? Yep. Time me. Ready?
Yep.
Done.
We didn't time you, but it was very short.
That's a picture of a lollipop. It's not even. It's not even.
It's
a
something.
Signature
I don't
any,
know what it is.
It's not in a signature on any level.
It looks like an oval head, and he's smiling.
Yeah,
and that's
a
his
bit.
Stick body, and that's one of his hands just like reaching to the sky, like maybe he's doing a finger.
If
roll.
Somebody was like, "What? Like who signed this? This is someone's signature." I would probably, if I had to guess, I'd guess Oprah.
Huh.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah.
Because it's just an O and a line to me.
It's supposed to be a D. Maybe I wasn't, you know, okay, let's try that again.
That looks like a D.
Okay,
I get that. I can see that.
Okay, I rushed it for that one. I was trying to be speedy.
Yeah.
Yes. You're like an artist. It looks Desmond Mason-esque. Yeah. Des Mason-art. Okay. Darnell, I'll let you have the final word. This is your podcast that you have passed on to us generation to generation. So send us off, please.
I just, again, want to say thanks to all the fans. That's all. You know, I had a really, really enjoyable time here. And I'm going to miss this place. I'm going to miss Thunder fans. I'm going to miss watching Russell Westbrook do his thing. Not interview him, but do his thing. And thank you guys for all your hard work. You know, you guys took the torch from me and Slater, and you've run with it. So You guys do great work. I hope fans really appreciate all that you guys put into the beat, because you guys are two of the hardest workers I've ever met. Very talented guys. Thunder fans are lucky to have you.
Well, we're lucky to have you, Darnell. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
We have been.
I guess that'll wrap it up. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. We're going to have to get Darnell on during the season when the Chicago Bulls come back or when we go to Chicago. Either way, this won't be the last you hear of Darnell Mayberry. Thanks.